بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Tonight is the 27th of January in the year 2016. Alhamdulillah, last night I mentioned the amazing journey of the believer's soul with great honor and respect through the heavens, and then illiyun, and then it's returned respectfully to its body on the earth. And I also mentioned that they meet the believers during this incredible journey, who find out about their family and friends on the earth. So now to mention the trip of the unbeliever's soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. Ameen. After departing from the body, an unbeliever's soul is taken up to the heavens, but it is not allowed to enter even the first heaven. So let's look at this. So like I mentioned, I've already covered the bit where the angels taken the soul, and the angels of punishment have wrapped it with the coarse garment of the hellfire. Now we're talking about the journey. But as it travels up, it's not even allowed to enter the heaven. It is then flung down into Sijjin for a brief initiation, and then restored to the body for the trial in the grave before it is finally taken back to Sijjin. Sijjin is a place where all the unbelievers' souls are gathered during the Barzakh period. It means a most low and tight imprisonment. So let's look at Sijjin first. Like I mentioned, Illiyin is the highest place, place of honor and respect. Sijjin is the word. Prison comes from that. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. The world is the prison for the believer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So sijjin means prison. It also means lowest. But in Ahwalul Qubur, page 183, Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, he said, sijjin is the lowest depth of the earth where the unbeliever's souls reside. Sijjin is the lowest depth of the earth where the unbeliever's souls reside. Hafiz ibn Kathir said, rahmatullah alayhi, in his tafsir, Sijjin is a tight prison under the seventh earth, or according to some, it is a well in hell. Sijjin is a tight prison under the seventh earth, or according to some, a well in hell. So what do I mean, seventh earth? The Quran says, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, he created the heavens and the earth. And then it mentions, in some passages, he created seven heavens and seven earths. So what does that mean? So seven heavens means seven spheres, i.e. seven universes, for want of a better word. Seven earths mean, literally, seven worldly domains. Each one is lower than the other. So just as you go up, ascent, when you go down, now think about that. You can also go down from the earth. So somebody goes, what if you descend? What happens? Where does it go? It goes to the second earth. Then it goes down to the third earth. But the more further you descend, the more disgrace is given to you. Have you understood? So this is just putting it very simply. The higher up you go, the more honor is given to you. The lower, the more disgrace. Sijjin is a tight prison under the seventh earth. Not on it. Under. And according to some ulama, it is a well in hell. So now question, where is paradise, where is hell? We haven't been given details. But the Quran indicates or gives a hint that paradise is at the highest abode. The Quran says, near it, the low tree above the seventh heaven is Sidratul Muntaha, i.e. The abode of peace. So paradise is in the heavenly realm. So logically you would think that hell must be at the bottom somewhere. But we can't say that with certainty. But what we can say is Sijjin is down there, the prison for the souls of the unbelievers. So now the report. In Abu Dawud, Ahmad and Uds, Shaykh Rabbani rahmatullah alayhi states, Sahih, in Sahih al-Targhib number 3558 and Ahkam al-Janais page 198 to 202. Bara ibn Azib, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angels, alayhi salatu wa sallam, they ascend with the unbeliever's soul. Don't forget the angels of punishment, not mercy now. As they pass by the gatherings of the angels, alayhi salatu wa sallam, they ask them, Ma hada ar-ruhul khabith? Who is this malicious soul? They respond, he is so-and-so, son of so-and-so, using the worst names with which he had been called in the first life. So all the offensive names that you hated, the people would call you, the angels who are carrying you, call you by that name to the other angels. You know, look how, you know, degrading that is. So you may hate a name, and they're using it, because this is the foul mouth one, son of the foul mouth one, etc., etc. When they reach the lowest heaven, they request admission, but the gates are not open for them, or not open for him. There's the difference. The righteous soul, he opens. Now the gatekeepers goes, nothing. Then the Prophet recited this verse, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 40. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. La tufattahu lahum abwaabu samai wa la yadkhuluna al-jannah hatta yalijal jamalu fi sammil khiyat. For them, i.e. the unbelievers, the gates of heaven will not be opened, and they will not enter paradise until the camel goes through the eye of a needle. Stop with the report. So the Prophet ﷺ gave you the seal of this. This is referring to the unbelievers. The Quran says, the unbelievers, the gates of the heaven does not open. Which heaven? The first. They will not be able to enter paradise until the camel goes through the eye of a needle. And there's a bit of commentary on that, you can ask me after. The hadith continues. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, look at the difference. The believing soul has gone up over the seventh heaven. Then Allah Ta'ala talks to it. This wretched soul hasn't even got out of the first heaven. Now Allah Ta'ala is speaking to it. So this shows that near and far is something for us. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't apply. One of the scholars actually said, Sheikh Umar Farooq Abdullah Hafizahullah, he goes, large and small do not apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, it is the same as he, for instance, talks to the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, the huge creations, and the atoms. It's not difficult for him. It's exactly the same. But for us, if we're going to talk to something huge or something small, it's a huge difference. Dimensions don't apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's his greatness. So here note, in the first heaven, he's abusing the unbeliever. In the seventh heaven, he's honoring. But what does he say, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Write his record that he will be in Sijjin, in the lowest earth. And they are told, take him back to earth, because I promised them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he recites the same verse. Surah Taha, Surah 20, verse 55. Audhu billahi min shaitan rajim. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. From it we created them, into it we returned them, and from it we raised them a second time. His soul is then flung down from the first heaven without regard, and it falls into his body. So stop in the quote. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, put his record in Sijjin. Now we've discussed it, we know what that is. Basically take it to the lowest of low. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now take him back to the earth. And because of the promise in the Quran. How is it taken back? The Prophet explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is flung down. Flung. When the believer, righteous soul is descending, it's taken down honorably by the angels. The unbeliever is flung. And then the Prophet recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Al-Hajj, Surah 22, verse 31. Audhu billahi min shaitan rajim.
ومن يشرك بالله فكأنما خر من السماء فتخطفه الطير او تحوي به الريح في مكان سحيق.
As for the one who joins partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if he plunges down from the heavens, whereupon a bird snatches him, or the wind casts him to a place far removed, away from mercy. So stopping the quote, the Prophet, note how he's giving tafsir of the Qur'an in this hadith. He's going through various passages of the Qur'an. And when you get commentary of the Prophet, you don't need any other commentary. Right? So he's explaining these verses. So look how interesting. That verse sounds metaphorical without commentary. So somebody goes, what does that verse say? As for the one who joins partners with his Lord, it is as if he is plunged down from the heavens, whereupon a bird snatches him, or the wind casts him away to a place far removed. So a person goes, that must be metaphorical. It's not. The Prophet uttered that verse after he mentions the unbeliever's soul being flung back to the earth. Then the Prophet said, his soul is then restored to his body, so that indeed he hears the thumping of his companion shoes as they walk away from him. Now how is the soul flung? The angel's arm is not like our arm. Even the gravity, you know, if the thing is, if you just drop something, it'll start picking up speed. Like that fruitcake that, you know, when he fell off that, you know, coming back to the earth. But if the angel is flinging, where is he flinging from? Where's an idea of the power of the angels? Alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the shooting stars. If you look at the shooting star, even on this planet, it's like a blink of an eye. What was that? And you even say to a person, did you see it? And he said, what was it? He said, oh, it was a shooting star. Compare that to the jet that you see leaving a cloud. It's like crawling like an ant. You even think, is it actually stationed? No, it's going at 1,000 miles an hour. It could have fooled me. Compare that to what's happening in the heavens. What is the shooting star? The angels. Who are they throwing those meteors towards? The shayateen. The shayateen are trying to listen to the divine assembly. The Quran says they are thrown at the shaitans, the devils, and it kills them if it hits them. Now with that strength, imagine your soul, the unbeliever's soul, flunk. So don't get the impression he's flying. You know. He's absolutely hammered. So imagine he's flying literally through the heaven. He goes straight through the atmosphere, slams straight into his grave. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, imagine, you know, what pain he must be in, because there's no death. You know, the soul fairly feeling pain, the soul also feels pain. Then it says, he hears the thumping of his companion shoes as they're walking away. Meaning it's coincided now. So look how beautiful. Both the believer and the unbeliever's soul returning coincides with the people leaving the grave. According to this report. In another report, there's a few additions. A combined report from Sayyidina Abu Huraira in Sahih Muslim, number 2872, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, and Shaykh Albani states Sahih in Sahih Al-Jam, number 1968. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when an unbeliever's soul exits from its body, it is taken to the first heaven, where admission is sought for it. The dwellers of the heaven say, what an evil soul is coming from the earth. Who is this? They reply, so and so. It is then said, you are unwelcome, O malicious soul that inhabited a malicious body. Return disgracefully, because the heaven's gates will not open for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take it back to complete its appointed time before resurrection. Thus it is sent down from heaven, and they take it to show its place with the other unbelievers' souls, and it then enters the grave. This adds something. As it's going down, it sees the other unbelievers' souls, i.e. the disgrace and punishment that awaits them. Because this is the company that you will keep. So look at the contrast. The believers combining or joining with the righteous souls to take knowledge and information to share it. These are just being shown out of disgrace. Astaghfirullah. So this is the contrast between the believer and the unbeliever's soul. So just to reiterate what happens thereafter. It is flung into Sijjin for a brief initiation. It sees the unbeliever's souls. And then restored to the body for the trial in the grave. Before it is finally taken back to Sijjin. So this is what happens. Right? So just to, you know, keep that in your mind, as they say. So this is called the amazing journey of the soul. I.e. for both the believer and also the unbeliever. So the next section is entitled, The Soul's Return to the Grave. Subhanallah, all of this has already taken place before even the questioning in the grave. You know, when you go to the graveyard, people think, alright, now it kicks off. MashaAllah. You know, it's not like you missed a little piece of, you know, information. What do you mean, now it kicks off? Most of it's done. But this is now the second phase. The grave's trial is such great in terms of difficulty that the Prophet likened it to the fitna of Dajjal. In Sahih Bukhari, in five places, number 84, number 184, number 922, 1053, 7287, and Sahih Muslim, number 905. Asma relates that once on the occurrence of the eclipse, the Holy Prophet told his companions a long sermon in which he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed it has been revealed to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you will be tested in the grave to the extent, qareeban aw mithla fitnatil masih ad-dajjal, near or similar to the fitna of the accursed Antichrist. Astaghfirullah. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Bukhari and Muslim, this is how much trouble you will go through in the grave. It's similar or equal to the fitna of the Dajjal. So what's the Dajjal? The Dajjal is the Antichrist that will come at the end of time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, that this is the greatest tribulation the world will ever face. The Antichrist, who comes before the Honorable Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. So don't worry about him. Most of us miss him. But people like talking about him, which is interesting. Most of us miss him. Then you say, brother, well, I think it's far more important that you talk about the grave. Because why? Because that's just as harmful in terms of an impact of fitna as compared to Dajjal. And nobody misses that. Nobody's excused. So that sets the scene. Why is it so grave? What's happening in the grave? First, there is the squeezing of the grave. After burial, and before the questions start, every dead person suffers a strong feeling of tightness, the grip of the grave. It is as though the earth welcomes back its children with a painful hug. In Tabarani, Abu Ash-Shaykh and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in As-Sahiha, number 1792, and Sahih Al-Jami, number 2998, Salman Al-Farsi, radiallahu, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَمَسَّهُ بِالْأَرْضِ فَإِنَّهَا بِكُمْ بَرَّةِ. Rub your forehead against the earth during sujood, for it is kind to you. Rub, i.e. your forehead against the earth during prostration, for it is kind to you. For it is affectionate like a mother to you. What does that mean? So here the Prophet ﷺ clearly said the earth is your mother. In one report he explicitly says that the earth is your mother. Why is that strange? We belong to paradise, but our being is from the earth. This is our mother. What's strange? We are walking on the surface of your mother. Meaning, is that a good thing to do? So obviously, you know, it's naturally you think, isn't that kind of a disrespect to the world? The answer is yes. But we have to live our lives. So some of the scholars say, because of this walking on the back of your mother, the earth has its day or has its night. And as your soul returns to the body, it starts closing in on you. To give you a squeeze or a hug. So this is one interpretation. In another report it mentions, in Ahmad Tabarani and others, Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As Sahiha, number 1695, Sahih ul Jan, number 5306. Our beloved mother Aisha, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they all related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed the grave has a grip on people. If anyone was to escape from it, it would be Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, radiyallahu anhum. Yet he was squeezed once and then released. Indeed the grave has a grip on people. If anyone was to escape from it, it would be Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, radiyallahu anhu. Yet he was squeezed once and then released. Meaning, nobody escapes. Who's Sa'd ibn Mu'adh? So again, most people, John Smith, right? Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, radiyallahu anhu, he was one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a sincere follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he passed away, he was martyred in the campaign of the Khandaq, the battle of the trench. He was struck by an arrow, and because of the wound, he eventually, his soul left his body. He was martyred. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 70,000 angels came down to help in his burial. He was that honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Tirmidhi. In Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the glorious throne shook upon the death of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. In other words, he was that beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he ticks all the boxes in piety. You can't find a weakness with him. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? If anyone was to escape the grip of the grave, it would be that man, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Yet he was squeezed once and then released. Meaning, it can squeeze you a few times if it wishes. But once, he has to do it once. In one report, the report says that Sa'd felt pain in Tabarani. But then because of the Prophet's intervention, the earth started opening again. What about children? Children are not spared this. In Tabarani, Abu Ya'la and others, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahiha, number 2164, Sahih Al-Jami, number 5307. Anas and Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhum, they both relate that they were attending a child's funeral, a child. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anyone were to escape the grave's hook, it would be this child. If anyone were to escape the grave's hook, it would be this child. Meaning children are excused. So they're sinless. The prophets, we don't know. So we can't speak without knowledge. Children, they have to go through it. Companions of the Prophet have to go through it. Who's left? The earth's hook is brief for the believer, but extends indefinitely for an unbeliever. In Bazar, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih Al-Targhib, number 3554, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you've informed us that we will be tested in our graves. What then would be my position when I am a weak woman? The Holy Prophet replied with the holy verse, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, Surah 14, verse 27. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Yuthabbitu Allahu alladhina amanu bil qawli thabiti fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the believers firm with firm words in the first life and in the last life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the believers firm with firm words in the first life and in the last life. So let's look at this. So who's Aisha? Aisha is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother of the believers. She wasn't a weak woman. She was stronger than most men. We're weak. So she's probably asking for this. She goes, I am a weak woman. What you've said about the grave, how am I going to take this? The Prophet didn't even say a single word of his own. Imagine. That's the status of Aisha. Meaning, I'm going to quote a verse to you and you know what it means. When I recited that verse, did you know what it meant? That's the problem, right? You know, like you get people breaking it down. breaking it down, breaking it down. To Aisha, all he said was, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the believers firm with firm words in the first life and in the last life. What does that mean? It means you'll be interrogated in the grave. There's the crushing and there's the questioning, which I'll mention probably tomorrow inshallah. There's interrogation taking place. But Allah ta'ala promises to keep the believers firm in that most trying time. Not just firm in your body, but firm in your speech with firm words. In the first and in the last. That's what he means. In other words, don't worry, O Aisha, radiallahu. But she still worried. In Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, Dehlavi, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, he was once weeping and weeping. And the Prophet ﷺ was, why are you weeping, O Aisha? She goes, the grave, Ya Rasulullah. You mentioned the crushing. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when you put ifmid surma in your eyes, do you feel discomfort? So she says, yes, slightly. He goes, that's how much discomfort the believer will feel with the squeezing. Meaning it's more of a mental thing. The earth closing in and you say, you're obviously petrified. Thinking, oh my God, you know, think about it. What can you do? You're helpless. Imagine, it doesn't even stop. It absolutely, literally looks like you're going to be crushed. Meaning there is a point where you're thinking, if it goes any further, it's going to be punishment. But at that moment, you breathe a sigh of relief because it starts opening again. How much discomfort you get, but you put in your eye. Look how interesting, when a person's, no matter how delicate he is, he's still uncomfortable. That's why children start crying when you start putting things into their eyes. Because don't blink. They can't help it. That's the example the Prophet gave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he gave the example, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it's like when a child has a headache and the mother starts massaging the head. Because that's how much you will feel the crushing of the grave if you are steadfast. Meaning, and look how interesting, when you massage somebody, it does, there's a slight discomfort there. Because sometimes he doesn't know his own strength, or she doesn't know, and he's, ooh, you know, you think, you know, just be a bit easy. Look how beautiful the description. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned one and all. However, O Aisha, radiallahu anha, whoever denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or finds, or complains about his commands, he will be crushed in the grave, like an egg is smashed against a rock. Astaghfirullah. Look at the description, the Prophet, beautiful descriptions. Because you know today what that means. Somebody goes, here's an egg, full white, hit it against that rock. Because why? He goes, that's what's going to happen to the unbeliever in the grave. And that's after what's already happened to him. Imagine it. Look at all this. And to be honest, they haven't got a clue. Astaghfirullah. Imagine it. You know, you see these people. You look at the atheists, what they say. Oh, you have your innings and enjoy yourself, innit? You only live once. Haven't got a clue. And it's our duty to get this message across to them, whether they like to hear it or not. But guess what? We're more busy talking about, you know, leather socks, wearing hats. Imagine it. And even if they didn't believe, at least you passed the message on. Imagine what they're going to say on the day of judgment. Nobody told us anything. We live with the Muslims. They didn't bother telling anything to us. And what we're going to say, oh, they weren't going to listen. Imagine it. That's the issue. Oh, they wouldn't listen. Well, how do you know they wouldn't listen? Astaghfirullah. So first educate yourselves. And then, if the time is appropriate, share a few of these things. But this subject isn't over the bowl of chips. Right? You can't just say, well, we'll summarize it. Well, how am I supposed to summarize it? Right? So again, this crushing is also something, you know, you should reflect upon. Now think about that. When you actually go to the graveyard, has the crushing took place already? Think about that. The hadith says, the soul returns when the people's footsteps are leaving. That seems to indicate that this hasn't taken place. It only takes place when you leave. However, there's other reports in the Sahih mentioning no. It's already taken place. The interrogation is also taking place whilst you're still around the grave. So isn't there a contradiction? The answer is no. Sometimes Allah the Almighty and Glorious does it quickly. Why? So that the believer will pass the test. Why? Because there's people around him making dua for him. It's to honor them. to help them. But if he wants you to be destroyed, he doesn't do it. So you're around the grave and think about it, you're making dua, but he's not, his soul's not returned. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want him to be successful. It's only when you leave, he goes, right, now bring it. Because he wants to get punished. But we don't know. So we still go through the procedure. We make dua, we do the exhortation. But we hope the best for him. Think about that, innit? And what's interesting, when the body is being carried to the grave, so let's leave the soul. When the body is in, you know, being carried to the grave, the Prophet ﷺ said, relief or relieved. Relief or relieved. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean? He goes, he is either relieved to leave the world, or everything is relieved to get rid of him. So if he's successful, he's saying, quickly, get me buried. Look how interesting. The soul has already returned according to this report. And the soul's in the body as it's being carried. So like I mentioned, it's not fixed. Generally speaking, the soul returns as the body's returned. But that report indicates it's returned as your body's being carried. But that's to honor you. Why? Because you're saying quickly. But in another report, it mentions that if it's an unbeliever, to dishonor him, disgrace him, he goes, woe to you, where are you taking me? Because he's already been on that miraculous journey. He goes, where are you taking me? And then the Prophet ﷺ said in Sahih Bukhari, if everything hears this, if the jinn and humans heard this, they would faint. They'll be so awe in awe of the frightening statements that the person's making. So all of this is detailed by the Prophet ﷺ. Now why is it important for us to discuss this? Because the Prophet discussed it. We discuss things that he didn't really discuss. Dinosaurs. What are you interested about dinosaurs for? Oh, they found a big dinosaur bone. You know, just now a big documentary about it. What's all that about? Thank you very much. Right? You found another dinosaur. Well done. People, you know, what did the Prophet say about dinosaurs? How many people ask me that question? What does the Prophet say about aliens? Don't worry about it. Worry about things that concern you. This is why when the Prophet was asked in Sahih Bukhari, when will the day of judgment strike? What did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, what have you prepared for it? That's the Prophet's way to get people. They ask a silly question, he redirects it. What does the Prophet say about dinosaurs? Rather, what's going to happen in the grave? Right? But you don't say to insult them, you just redirect it, something that will benefit them. Because they don't understand sometimes when they're asking you questions. But inshallah, tomorrow we will discuss further what will happen in the grave. So we discussed the unbelievers, a'udhu billahi's wretched journey, and then Islam dunk, for want of a better word, into the grave. And then I mentioned the squeezing of the grave. And nobody, so the thing is, you can worry about it, but if you can't do anything about it, you just make dua that Allah Ta'ala keeps us firm. But at the same time, when you're burying your brothers and sisters, if you don't die first, you should be thinking about that. People are cracking jokes. Imagine, innit? You see him around. Oh. Once Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu went to a funeral, and there was people laughing. And he said to them, I'm never going to speak to you again. He goes, your brother's being buried and you're laughing. Now why did he say that in Bayhaqi? Because he knew what was going on. They didn't. And the people who were laughing are always the most ignorant people. Another person asked me to finish. He goes, why don't the people who do the sermons at the grave talk about these things? And I thought about that. I thought, that's a good question. Because you know, we notice they do a little short sermon, which is a sunnah. The reason is it's too detailed. You've got 5-10 minutes, mics. People are going to want to go, you know, back to their dunya. But you can mention it very briefly, if you know, but summarized form. But you know, it is important for us to go through, essential, so that a person knows exactly what happens after he dies. You know, subhanAllah. So are there any questions you'd like to ask?
You mentioned about the come of us with eye of needle.
MashaAllah. Okay, right, so just to reiterate what the Buddha's asking. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the unbeliever's soul, that the gate of the heaven will not be open for them, then he recited that verse, Surah 7 verse 40, for the unbelievers the gates of heaven will not be opened, and they will not enter paradise until حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَبَلُ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَاطِ until the camel goes to the needle's eye. Few things here. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions here the male camel, Jamal. Why not a female camel? Because a male camel is larger in size. So for a camel to go through an eye of a needle is impossible. To make it larger adds to the description. Ibl means camel generally, and there's another word for the she camel. But here Jamal is used to highlight this. Secondly, what does it mean the male camel going through the eye of a needle? Ibn Abbas said Jamal could also here refer to Jumal. It means a large threaded rope. So if you give a needle to somebody, you give them a large rope, no way on earth is going to get through. So that's another possible interpretation. Another meaning is, the camel going through the eye of a needle, in the old good old days, there was fortifications around the city. There was a main entrance that people would go through during the day. But during the night, because obviously that's on the times when raids would take place, the main gate would be locked. But the small gate around one part of the fortification, which was heavily guarded, would be opened only through a process. That small gate during the night is called the eye of the needle. So that seems to indicate there is a possibility. Because if you take it in that meaning, the camel does go through the eye of a needle. So there's a lot of meaning with this. Whatever the case, the unbelievers, it's impossible for them. And this is why the Prophet recited it.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, about the eye of the needle being a small entrance to a sitter. But the guy saying you've got to, say a big camel, to get through, you'd have to unload everything off it.
Yes.
Get to go on his knees, and you say it's like almost impossible
right.
to get through. But is that indicating that it's possible or...
That's what I'm saying. If you take it from that interpretation, it seems that there is a possibility. Whatever the case, they're in dire straits. Majority say no, it's impossible. But because of that interpretation, there is a possibility. So we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just narrate what the Prophet mentioned. But that shows that when you look at the English, this is what the brother was highlighting, you haven't got the meaning. You go through more and more, you realize what Allah ta'ala is getting across. But that's more going through the commentary of the Quran. Subhanallah. And that, what's interesting is that particular passage, the eye of a needle, is mentioned in the Bible. It's a common phrase in all scriptures, including the Quran. You know, subhanAllah. Any other questions or comments? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sadaqallahu al-azim.